2 Timothy 1, verse 13 is our text this evening. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes his final words to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in this place he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." The ASV tells us, the American Standard Version of 1901, to hold the pattern of sound words. The ESV, follow the pattern of sound words. New American Standard, retain the standard of sound words. New King James, hold fast the pattern of sound words. And the New Revised Standard Version says, hold to the standard of sound teaching. Paul gives a command. Hold fast the form. Follow the pattern. Retain the standard. But of what do we keep, retain, or hold? Sound words or teaching. But how do I know what's sound? The answer is, which thou hast heard of me, the apostle says. What do we have to do to obey the command? Hold fast the form of sound words. What does it take for each one of us to do that very thing? To hold fast requires a certain attitude. 1 Kings 22 and verse 14, I think you'll find a man that does meet the pattern of holding fast the form of sound words. 1 Kings 22, verse 14. The kings of north and south, the kings of Israel and Judah were meeting together to go to battle, to consider what they were going to do. The king of the north decided that he wanted to go to battle, and the king of the south advised caution. Are there any prophets of God here? Yes, there's one available, but I hate him. He never speaks anything good of me. Micaiah is told that the other prophets are preaching victory to the king, and that someone advises him, if you want to do what's good for you, then you'll tell the king that he's going to be victorious. Micaiah is the name of the man that I want to speak about for a moment. 1 Kings 22 and verse 14, we read what he says. And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." That's a man that knows how to hold fast the pattern of sound words. I'm not going to say anything but what God has told me to speak. And so must we all as well. We must, when we go to our neighbor, when we go to our children, when we are speaking of our spouses, wherever we go, we are bound by Scripture to speak sound words. What the Lord says unto me, that will I speak. We turn our minds to Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Now in his day, Joshua has been victorious. And during his time, the children of Israel stayed faithful. And he challenges them at this time. He knows he's not long for the world. He knows that others are going to come after him, and they need to make a decision. What am I going to do when it's my decision to make? Joshua 24 and verse 15. Starting in verse 14. Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve unto the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the kind of man, that's the kind of attitude that will hold fast the form of sound words. You have to make a decision that this is what it's going to be and nothing else. Job 13 and verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. Now, Job went through a lot of hard times. We understand that. And Job was a man of deep feelings. And when he had gone through all these hard times, he had lost his children, lost his wealth, and his wife was even telling him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" What kind of attitude should a man like that have? What would you expect from just someone in the world? You would expect them to be bitter about what had happened to them. And like one celebrity I heard one time, "I blame God for the loss of my son, therefore I don't believe in him." What kind of man was Job? He had lost far more. He had lost all of his children. He had lost all of his wealth, and his fame had turned to infamy. And he had three so-called friends who were telling him, "Well, it's time to repent." He says, "I haven't done anything." "Well, you must have, because all these things have come upon you." Job says, "I haven't done anything." Job says, after all this, Job 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the kind of attitude that we have when we want to hold fast the form of sound words. Conviction. Conviction that what God has said is true, and what men say are the ways of death. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The kind of conviction that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18. Most of you, I would suppose, know the story, how that counselors of the king had tickled his fancy, had appealed to his vanity, and he had this giant gold statue of himself put up, and people were only to bow down to it for a period of 30 days. It only, for 30 days. And there were three men that weren't going to heaven. We don't know where Daniel was at this point. May have been on a trip for his king or something. I just don't know. But Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18 shows the attitude of these men who are going to hold fast the form of sound words. Notice verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.'" They said that knowing what the price they would have to pay was, that they were going to be thrown into that, notice it says, burning fiery furnace. Whenever you see something stated multiple times in the Bible, you have to up the temperature. When Jesus says, "Verily, verily," he's trying to make a point. It's true and it's true. You can take it to the bank. But when you see that double adjective in the Old Testament and in the New, you have to figure that he's talking about something that's hotter than hot. That burning, fiery furnace, you're not going to survive it. There's just no way to survive it. They knew that they were going to their deaths if they refused the king. And yet they said, "We're not going to bow down. We're not going to serve your gods. And we're not going to bow down to that image." That's the kind of conviction it takes to hold fast the form of sound words. "We will not serve thy God." Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra is perhaps a more cerebral type of conviction. He prepared himself for what the people needed, prepared himself to be able to teach that which was good and right, to teach others to hold fast the form of sound words. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. The Lord had called the people of Israel to go back to the promised land after they had spent 70 years in captivity. Ezra, there had been one return under Zerubbabel, But there needed to be another under Ezra in order to start the temple services once again. And so Ezra comes back in order to set everything right. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." He was going to learn it, he was going to do it, and he was going to teach others to do it. Do what? Hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words, where were they from? They were from the mouth of God and through Moses. They were those words that caused Israel to be pleasing with God. To hold fast requires a certain attitude. What the Lord says, that will I speak. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now let's talk about the sound words. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. In the book of Proverbs, the wise man of the Old Testament, Solomon, gives us some excellent advice. Too bad he didn't take more of it himself, but he tells us some things that we ought to heed. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man." Usually it's his opinion. Well, I think this, or I think that, or I think he is right, or I think she is right. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The ways of death. I wonder how people can go to the conventions of religion, can go to the synods and go to the things that the popes have written over the years. I wonder how people can do that and ignore this passage. The ways of death. Those things are not inspired. They're not God's word. Those things are the thoughts of men, not the words of man. It leaves out the idea, and this is so prevalent in religion today, the Bible doesn't say we can't, so we can. Many people say that. The Bible never tells us that we can't have the instrument in worship, therefore we can. The Bible doesn't say we can't have pineapple juice on the Lord's table, therefore we can. The Bible doesn't say that we can't have holy dancing in the assembly, therefore we can. But those are the words of men. It's something man has taught. Instead of the Lord's Supper, let's have Dr. Pepper and hamburgers. There have been some that have tried that. Might be tasty, but it's the ways of death. We are not to do just whatever we think, because that's the ways of death. God says that we are to follow His ways, and His ways are higher than ours. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. I think many people have a wrong idea about what this passage says. I've been to several vacation Bible schools, and we sing this in order to get the kids to quiet down, but it gives us a wrong idea about what the passage is really saying. I'll give you time to get to Habakkuk because it's in one of those little bitty books in the back of the Old Testament. Well, the preacher's having a hard time finding it too. But fortunately, I know what it says. It says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." It's in the context of idolatry. That one idol in one temple says one thing, says supposedly. The other idol in another temple says something the opposite, that you are to worship in this other way. But then there's the Lord God Himself on the throne on high in heaven. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. That tells us that God has something to say, and that what everyone else has to say, it doesn't mean anything. It's not to be followed, because God has spoken. The Lord is in His holy temple. let all the earth keep silence before him. When Jesus was tempted out in that wilderness, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the devil tempted him to do various things, but Jesus had an answer for everything that the devil wanted him to do. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, after the devil tempted him to command the stones be made bread, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I want to talk about sound words. The things that proceed out of the mouth of God, that is sound words. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Hebrews writer reminds us that we're in a different dispensation. There was the Mosaic and the patriarchal before that, but now we are in the time of Christ. We're in the last days. This is the last period of time before the end of this old world. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." By whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the one through whom God reveals things to us today. Those are sound words. And so sound words are the words of God. Those are the things that we need to hold fast to. The feel-good books of today, the ones that want you to be healthier and wealthier and want you to meditate in order to get it, and they want you to do these various things that will make everyone feel good and no one feels guilty. You know the kind of books I'm talking about. Those are not the words of God. The words of God are found in the Scripture, that which we read in order to find salvation. The words spoken by Paul. We go back full circle. Paul tells us that we are to hold fast the form of sound words. The words given to apostles are those words that we need to pay heed to. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. "But they shall lead you and deliver you up." But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, "take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." The apostles were given this power in order to speak the words of God. They were able also to work miracles so that people would know that what they were saying came from God. The Apostle Paul received those things. And we know he did because of the miracles that he worked. John chapter 17 and verse 8. John chapter 17, verse 8. Jesus prays, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." The sound words came through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Jesus gave those words to his apostles. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. As he is seeking to make things right with the Galatian churches, who had gone off after another gospel, he tells them the source of the gospel that he had received, that is the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it." Thank you. Yes, because what comes from man is the ways of death. "Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words come from God through Jesus Christ, who gave them to the apostles, who remembered them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and who wrote them down for us so that we may study and remember the attitudes that we are to have, like Micaiah, what the Lord has told me. That's what I'm going to speak. That's the kind of attitude that we are to have, so that we can speak the words of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. What is your attitude toward God's Word? Is it the attitude, this particular doctrine that I believe was good enough for my mother or good enough for my Aunt Sally, and therefore that's what I'm going to follow? Or is your attitude like Micaiah? What the Lord says, that's what I'm going to speak. Do you only obey sound words? If not, you're in danger this hour. You're in danger of an end that is unspeakable. Change your ways. It's where repentance comes in.